The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see. Otherwise, you will have no recompense with your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you, as hypocrites do in the synagogues and on street corners, in order to win praise from others. And I say to you, they have already received their reward. When you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your almsgiving may be a secret, and your Father who sees in secret, he will repay you. When you pray, do not be like hypocrites who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners so that others may see them. And I say to you, they have already received their reward. When you pray, go to your inner room, close your door, pray to your Father in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like hypocrites. They neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. But I say to you, they have already received their reward. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you may not appear to others to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden, he will repay you." The Gospel of the Lord. This Gospel, coming from the Sermon on the Mount, speaks about the interior life. Not the public perception, but the interior life. What is our interior life like? When we pray, when we give alms, and when we fast? Or do we pray quietly and personally in the presence of the living God? Do we fast quietly without publishing it? And do we give alms without asking for a tax write-off, without registering? It's a way of life. And Jesus is speaking here about this is a way of living in discipleship, following Jesus Christ. So keep this in mind. It's invasive in a way. It's questioning, and it makes us wonder, in fact, whether we have a prayer life which is quiet and very personal, intimate in with the living God, or whether fasting is something, a discipline that we might just take on, not just for Lent, where we all know we're fasting, but just to fast from just not food now, to fast from judgment, to fast from making, being selfish, making judgments about others, to fast from racism, to fast not just from food, but to fast as a way of life, to have a discipline, a sense of order, a sense of witnessing discipleship. That's fasting. And this is a way of life that Matthew is speaking about here. And he's taking it from the Torah. But let me say one or two words about Juneteenth. I learned a new word yesterday, portmanteau. Portmanteau is bringing together two words to express one thought. Like motel is motor, hotel, and we made it motel. Or breakfast and lunch, we made brunch. Putting two words together to say one thing. Juneteenth is June 19th, and we called it Juneteenth. And it refers, as you probably know, it refers back to 1860 in Galveston, Texas, where 250,000 African Americans were enslaved and they were set free. Part of the Civil War gift to the country, in a way, the tragedy, and then out of the tragedy comes some measure of enlightenment. It made me wonder, I was thinking about that. You know, in 1860, in Ireland, there were post-famine. There was a famine in Ireland, which killed 2 million people. 2 million people died in that famine, but the whole world went on. No, then people didn't connect with the fact that 2 million people died in this whole passage of famine. I'm wondering today if 30 or 40 years from now, people will look back on us and say, how could they be prejudiced against this person or that person? Now we're living in a very enlightened world. We're media conscious today. So something that happens in another country, we know. We can't claim we didn't know. It may well be that there were good people in 1860 in the United States that didn't care about slavery in Galveston, Texas. They went to church and they prayed, but they didn't care. It wasn't part of their concern. I often wonder to myself if 30 or 40 years from now, people look back on our generation and say, how could they do this? How could they go to Mass, pray, and so forth, and still see and understand and be aware of radical injustice, judgment, exclusion? I've often wondered to myself in the church, you know, as a priest in the church, people that we exclude, we say, you don't qualify. We consider you a sinner. There's something canonical about your life that you don't fit. 20 or 30 years from now, we go back. How could they be so legalistic? How could they hurt people that way? It's good for us to think about that, because we are disciples of the present generation. We're standing on this ground, following Jesus Christ, praying, going to Mass, receiving the Eucharist, listening to the Word of God. And yet we should really stop and look back into ourselves and wonder if a future generation will look back on us and say, but how could they have treated people this way in such a developed, advanced, socially conscious, media conscious environment? How could we make decisions about people like that? I'm not sure, but it's worth thinking about. And it's often crossed my mind in dealing with people who come to Holy Family and say, is there a place for us? And say, well, I'm not sure. Maybe there's something wrong with you. You don't fit. Or do we say, of course, in the kingdom of God, there's always a place in the family of God's infinite love. It's a conversation, and it's a question that has crossed my mind many times, that when I was a young priest, I was very legalistic. I was part of the institution. And then I came to Holy Family, and I met people, real people now, not just sitting in a big office making judgments, but real people in pain, struggling, uncertain, searching, wondering if they belong, if there's a place for them, in the fullness of their humanity. And I said, wow, I have to think differently here. That's what Juneteenth must mean to us. When we look across the world and we see injustice, or even at home, very close to us, and say, I'm wondering if the way I'm thinking is really the way of Jesus Christ. I'll leave you with the question. Amen. We pause now for a moment of prayer.